From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. It's Emerging Artist Night tonight on Coast to Coast. Check out their websites at coasttocoastam.com or georgenorrie.com. Next hour, The Purpose-Guided Universe with Dr. Bernard Heisch. Get ready for that, but here's what's happening. While a containment cap was capturing more and more of the crude pouring from a damaged oil well in the Gulf of Mexico, but that bit of hope was tempered Sunday by a sharp dose of reality. The government's point man is warning that the crisis could now stretch into the fall. The inverted funnel cap is being closely watched for whether it can make a serious dent in the flow of new oil. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, overseeing the government's response to the spill, reserved judgment, saying he just didn't want to risk offering false encouragement. Captain Kelly Sweeney gets our week going on this situation with the spill. Kelly, so it's still oozing out. They haven't stopped it. They're beginning to find dead birds now on the shores of Texas. What's going on?
Boy, George, yes, the cap, as we talked about on Friday, has had some success, and they're hoping to increase it. Right now, there are reports that it's getting as much as 50% of what's coming out. I haven't been able to verify that, but every bit they can get is good news, and I'm hopeful that this is going to continue. And Admiral Allen is definitely right, and that's just the initial cleanup. This thing is going to be with us for years. And, you know, George, there's something else I wanted to pass on. The hearings down in Louisiana, the Joint Coast Guard Minerals Management Service hearings, have concluded. The current session is concluded, and the next session is going to start back up in about a month in July. There are two revelations that came out that shocked me as a mariner. The first one was, the night of the explosions that began this whole disaster on the Deepwater Horizon, the senior BP official on board was confronted with unusual pressure readings from the well. He chose to tell the workers to ignore those readings, keep on drilling, and when asked to testify in front of the hearings, took the Fifth Amendment.
Jeez.
And the second revelation is that the engineer on duty on the Deepwater Horizon when the explosions occurred was not licensed as a marine engineer and had no formal training as a marine engineering officer.
Well, Kelly, as you know, we've been talking about the ramifications of this and the culpability of this, and we're going to find out soon enough, I think. Thanks. The number of fires destroying Amazon rainforests are increasing, according to a study. Writing in Science, they said fire occurrence rates had increased 59% of areas with reduced deforestation. So goes the forest. So goes us. A tornado unleashed a war zone of destruction in northwest Ohio, destroying dozens of homes and an emergency services building as a line of storms killed at least seven people, threatened to do more damage as it hit the northeast. Storms collapsed a movie theater roof in Illinois and ripped siding off a building at a Michigan nuclear plant, forcing a shutdown there. Most of the worst was reserved for a 100-yard-wide, 7-mile-long strip southeast of Toledo, now littered with wrecked vehicles, splintered wood, and family possessions all over the place. And the Guatemalan officials say the death toll from Tropical Storm Agatha has now risen to 172. 101 people are still missing in the country and 148 injured. Earth and space are about to come into contact in a way that's new to human history. To make preparations, authorities in Washington, D.C. are going to hold a meeting called the Space Weather Enterprise Forum at the National Press Club. Many technologies of the 21st century are vulnerable to solar storms, says Richard Fisher, the head of NASA's heliophysics division. He says the sun is waking up from a deep slumber, and in the next few years, we expect to see much higher levels of solar activity. Wonder what the Mayans knew. It noted how people in the 21st century rely on high-tech systems for the basics of daily life, smart power grids, GPS navigation, air travel, financial services, and emergency radio communications can be all knocked out by intense solar activity. A century-class solar storm, the Academy warned, could cause 20 times more economic damage than Hurricane Katrina. Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, But by Ice, but also Magnetic Reversals and Evolutionary Leaps. Robert, it's just a matter of when, isn't it?
Well, George, you know, I hear, I, I missed one of your words. It's just a matter of
when we're going to get hit.
Yes, it is just a matter of when we're going to get hit. But there's two different things going on. They're talking about solar flares, but there's also the problem of sunspots, which are still going down. They're two separate things. I was at the Heartland, the fourth Heartland International Conference on Climate Change in Chicago just a couple of weeks ago, and I sat 10 feet away from Dr. Habibulu Abdusamatov.
Repeat that.
I think I said it right. Habibulu.
Who would know? So it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, he is head of the Russian Ukrainian project Astrometria, and he's on the Russian segment of the International Space Station, and he's head of the Russian astrophysical department, and he says that a new little ice age is to begin in 2014.
Yep, he backs up exactly what you're saying. Robert, thanks so much. It's going to be a rough storm season. By the way, Mitch Batras joins us for a full program tomorrow on Coast to Coast as we talk about these incredible weather changes. No matter where you go, you're affected by it. With childhood obesity now considered a national epidemic by health officials, listen to some of these statistics. 20% of preschool children are obese. 20%. Research shows that obese children are more likely to develop a wide variety of cancers than children of normal weight. And scientists studying this show that in 2010, this year, 50% of children are going to be obese. 50%. Up next, childhood obesity with the Build-A-Plate founders. Next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Two special guests for you this hour. Jay Snerick has been teaching anatomy, physiology, health and disease, and nutrition at a college level for 15 years. He's got a passion for teaching, especially in the area of nutrition and weight loss. And Kimberly Hickman has been working as a healthcare professional for 5 years. She's currently a registered nurse in an intensive care unit. Now, I want you to know, Kimberly struggled most of her childhood with being overweight. She has since lost 90 pounds and is now determined to help others, especially children with weight control. Here they are in Coast to Coast, Jay and Kimberly. Hello, you two. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, George?
Good.
Hey, George, we want to thank you so much for having us on and raising awareness for such a tragic problem that, unfortunately, is still not really being recognized enough in this country.
No, it isn't. As a matter of fact, when I started going online, Jay, to start doing some research into this, I couldn't believe the statistics out there where some scientists are saying that this year alone, 50% of the kids out there are going to be obese. That's huge.
In certain areas, that is going to be the case. I mean, right now, if you look at the overall statistics in the United States, one out of three children is overweight or obese. And one out of five children are already showing signs, high risk factors for cardiac disease.
And not only is it serious as a child, but eventually they're going to become adults and it'll be even worse, shortening their lifespan, won't it?
Absolutely. Studies show that if you're an obese child, you have at least 10 times you're as likely to be an obese adult.
Kimberly, tell us a little bit about you and your personal situation. Losing over 90 pounds, that's pretty monumental to be able to do that.
Right. It's definitely something that I struggled with throughout my childhood and through adolescence and then into adulthood. And, you know, it was the way that my habits were formed growing up. You know, I tried a ton of different diets to lose weight, and I just never knew what to put on my plate. I didn't know how to eat healthy. And after taking Jay's class in college and nursing school, it was presented to me in such a simple way of how to eat healthy, and I just took what I learned, you know, put it together with some exercise, brought it back to the basics, and I lost the weight. And not to say that it was easy, because it wasn't, but you can do it.
Is it easier to lose it or to keep it off, Kim?
I think that when you're dedicated in the beginning to losing it, but it's something you have to continue to stay dedicated to. So I don't think that it's ever easy. It has to become a behavior change and a way of life.
Now, Jay, this obesity problem for children, is it increasing over time? I mean, have you seen this grow every year?
Absolutely. In the last three decades, it has tripled.
Tripled?
From 5%, from about 5% to nationally now about 17%, approaching 20%.
Okay, what the heck's going on to do that?
Well, there's a lot of different problems. I mean, we can, you know, a lot of people point at, you can point at parents, you can point at schools, we can point at our government, we can point at environmental chemicals, we can point at genetics, we can point at mothers even before children are born. Their behaviors have shown that it can be an increase in causing their children to become obese. I mean, where do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. How much does sugar play a part in this, Jay?
You know, that's a funny thing, because sugar gets a bad rap. It depends on what you're talking about, because really, if you look at any kind of starch, when it breaks down into sugar. So
right.
Even if you're eating a piece of fruit, it breaks down into sugar, which doesn't necessarily mean the sugar is bad. It's where you're getting the sugar from. So getting the sugar in a piece of fruit, that's okay. But getting the sugar in soda, that's not okay.
How bad is the diabetes 2 problem with young children or pre-diabetes?
Yeah, well, first of all, diabetes type 2 traditionally has been also known as adult onset. It's never really been seen in children before until the obesity epidemic with children. And now, as we say, childhood obesity is an epidemic. Type 2 diabetes is also an epidemic in children. As a matter of fact, it's been estimated that children who are born in the year 2000, one out of three will see diabetes in their lifetime.
Jay and Kimberly, a couple months ago, I went online and I put in one of these body mass index statistics. I put in my height and my weight, and they push the button and it goes, whoa, you know, you're borderline. And, you know, and I'm not, I'm thin. I mean, are those charts accurate?
Well, you know, it really depends. And the reason I say that is because we need something. We need some sort of screening. So if you look at a professional athlete, someone who works out and has a lot of muscle mass, if you put a linebacker on a football team and you put them on the chart, it would look like they're obese, which obviously is not the case. However, as a general screening for the public, it's really the best way that we can at least get an estimate of what's going on.
And Kimberly, in your particular situation as a registered nurse, as a healthcare professional, do you see a lot of obese people, children and adults, coming in?
Yes, definitely, George. It's not just the patients that are obese. It's the, you know, children that come and visit them and the grandchildren. It seems to kind of be a trend throughout the whole family. That's just getting passed on from generation to generation. And these people are sick. I mean, obesity is definitely triggering the heart disease, but not just that. I mean, you're seeing cancer, sleep apnea, asthma. I mean, people are suffering from they're just really sick and they're dying. I mean, it's literally people are eating themselves to death.
Jay, you and Kimberly put together the Build a Plate for Kids. What happened? What did you see for you to want to develop this kind of a program?
Well, initially I had written a diet for adults because I just always was very interested in nutrition and health overall, the physiology. I mean, that's my background, education background, how the body works and so forth. And working with adults, with obese adults, one of the things I kept seeing is that a lot of the behavior that was causing them to be obese was developed early in childhood. So although it's still extremely important to help adults that are obese and overweight, I think really what we need to do is we need to get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is getting children and getting them before they develop these bad habits and educating them on how to eat healthy.
Out here in Los Angeles, it was my birthday Friday, so I went out.
Happy birthday.
I went out with some friends this weekend. Went to one of my favorite restaurants here, and the waiter there is an avid Coast to Coast listener, Billy. Hi, Billy, by the way. And they all brought me at the end this incredible cheesecake. And I'm saying to myself, I'm on this constant diet now where, you know, I'm not eating breads or pastas or starches. And in comes this incredible cheesecake. So I said, all right, it's my birthday. I'm going to cheat just once. But thank God most of the people there all took a couple spoonfuls of it. There wasn't much left for me.
Right.
Is it okay to cheat once in a while like that?
Definitely. I can tell you, after trying to be strict for a while to lose most of the weight, it's not reasonable to say that you're not going to have times of celebrations. I mean, there's going to be kids' birthday parties. There's going to be anniversaries. And so I think the goal is just learn your healthy habits. You know, kids don't need to be put on a diet unless they are morbidly obese. They just need to learn how to eat healthy. And then if you're doing that the majority of the time, when it comes time for a celebration or you want a bite of that cheesecake, then it's going to be okay.
Jay, you and Kimberly have made it very easy for parents and folks to go to your website, buildtheplate.com. We've got a link up at Coast to Coast because there's some dashes between the words there. Tell us a little bit about that, about the site.
Well, it's build-a-plate.com. So there are the dashes in there. If you put in just buildtheplate.com, you come up with someone who builds actually license plates for a car. So, well, at the site, there's you can look at over the software program that we developed for children. In addition to that, you can sign up, and we give away a lot of good educational material. Like one report that we give away is 5 foods you should never feed your child.
That's important too. You have to educate the parents. Do the kids seem to fight this? I mean, do they go like into withdrawals all of a sudden?
You know, I really think if it's not available to the kids, I don't think that the kids just, you know, you don't miss what you don't know. And if you just presented these healthy foods to children from the beginning, they wouldn't know about all of these other things. And they would choose, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, and then they would just naturally choose more healthy foods if you're given limited choices.
Well, and the name of the game is to educate them so when they become teenagers and adults, young people, that they start eating right since this age right now when they're youngsters. You know, they have to be trained this way, don't they?
Absolutely. And again, that's what really was the impetus of creating this program from the beginning is, as I said before, I saw working with overweight adults and trying to get them to lose weight, the behaviors that are developed at a young age, and then Kimberly sees it constantly in the hospital.
How many people? Go ahead, Kimberly.
I was just going to say, I think empowering parents and caregivers with simple tools that they can help educate their kids with it is vital. Because, I mean, let's face it, children mirror their parents' behaviors, whether it's eating or whatever it is, they look up to them. And that's when their eating habits and other habits are developed, is when they're young.
What's the definition of an obese kid, Jay or Kimberly? I mean, how heavy do they have to be?
Well, again, it's defined by going back to the BMI. And so they put it on a chart. They take a relationship between their weight and their height. But for children, they also use their gender and their age. And they don't do that for adults.
Okay.
And then a BMI between the 85th and 94th percentile is overweight. And then in 95th percentile and up, then you would be considered obese.
And based on these scientific studies, they're saying this year, 50% of the kids out there are going to be obese.
Well, in certain areas, 50%. You know, really, if you look at, because really there's disparities as far as, the region of the country.
Really? Okay. How come?
Well, that's a great question. And so, for example, southern states, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, these are the heaviest states. Whereas states on the West Coast, on the East Coast, Northeast, Colorado, especially on the West Coast, you don't see as high of obesity. And I mean, I personally think it's probably cultural related. I mean, that good old Southern home cooking is catching up with people.
Oh yeah, it sure is. Well, you two stay with me because we're going to come back in just a moment and take some phone calls with you. We're also going to take text questions. That phone number is 818-298-6521. And of course, Skype is open for you now at George97313 and Fast Blast as well. And of course, the good old phone lines are open as well. So we've got all kinds of ways to get to us here on Coast to Coast AM. This hour, we talk about childhood obesity And when we come back, we'll talk about some of these five worst foods for your children. And again, their website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. You know, every first Sunday, we do our Emerging Artists, where we run a number of songs from those folks who haven't had an opportunity to play their music and their works on a major radio station, so they get 540 plus in one swoop here on Coast to Coast. But go support them. Go to their websites and take a look at some of the work they do, and they're strategically located all around the country and in Canada as well. Next hour, by the way, I'll be talking with Dr. Bernard Heisch as we talk about the purpose-guided universe. But when we come back, we talk about Build-A-Plate, and we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, you're listening to Coast AM. We have two guests for you this hour, Kimberly Hickman and Jay Snarek, as we talk about their Build-A-Plate program. Jay, can you quickly buzz through those five worst foods for kids?
Well, soda, which is it seems like a pretty obvious one.
Yep.
But the next one is juice.
And juice?
Fruit juice, and it's just as bad as soda. Now, granted, fruit juice has some vitamins and minerals in it, but when it boils down to it, it's sugar and it's water. It's like telling your kids, sit down in front of a table, you know, in front of a bowl of sugar with a spoon and saying, eat up. Because when you boil down to it, with the fruit juice, that's exactly what you're giving your kid. It would be much better to give your child the whole piece of fruit. That way they get the fiber with it, which mm-hmm. is an extremely important part.
So that's two.
White bread.
Okay. Three.
White rice.
Four. And number five.
And white pasta.
All those things I stay off of right now. So you don't have to be a kid to stay off them. Adults should do this too then, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. And for the same reason.
All right, let's go to some of the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to get things going east of the Rockies. Danielle, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be talking to you. And I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
Well, I was wondering about your suggestions for getting meals on the go, like a healthy meal. Like, I know snacks are available, fruits and vegetables and stuff, but, you know, in New York, you can just walk out your door and, you know, there's bodegas that serve, you know, fresh vegetables and wraps and just tons of, you know.
The good stuff.
Yeah. Right. And in Wisconsin, it's just, you know, laden with cheese and fat and white breads and stuff like that. So besides, you know, packing your own meals, I mean, what would you suggest?
Kimberly, let's let you handle this because you've gone through this. You've lost over 90 pounds by picking and eating the right stuff.
Right. So a couple of things that I tend to do is prepare at the beginning of the week. Some things that you can do quick on the go for breakfast would be a hard-boiled egg. You have those ready. You hard-boil them at the beginning of the week. They're done. Peel them. You're out the door. Throw it in a baggie. Another thing is if you buy lean lunch meat, if you get lean deli meat, whether it's chicken or turkey, good, fresh, lean cuts of that, low in fat, no sugars, do that, roll it up with a slice of a mozzarella or Swiss cheese, and you're out the door. Things like that are quick on the go and pretty readily available anywhere that you can get food.
How close was the Atkins diet to being something that a lot of people should try?
Well, I think that the idea of cutting out a lot of sugars is good, but in reality, I don't think that including all those bad red meaty fats is good for.
You could overdo it on that end too, can't you?
I'm sorry?
You could overdo it on that end also, can't you?
Exactly. So I think learning how to balance everything in moderation and learn which foods are the healthiest foods to eat is the right way.
Okay, we've got a text in. This is from Brett in Canada. It says he's got a girlfriend who thinks that he is fat and wants to take diet pills. What do you think? And one of you can take this. What do you think of diet pills?
I'm absolutely against diet pills. They're absolutely unnecessary. They only cause problems. Most of them, all they do is they're loaded with caffeine or some sort of something that you know, speeds up your metabolism, yes, but in the long run, it's not a good idea at all.
I can't tell you how many times working in the emergency room before the ICU that we would have men and women come in with heart palpitations.
Oh, no.
Related to taking not only diet pills, but a variety of energy drinks. So I'm completely against it. And even though I did in the past try everything to lose weight, you really can achieve it just by eating a healthy, balanced diet in the right proportion and including exercise.
Exercise is critical. And they're also saying now, Kimberly, you don't have to exercise that long to get the advantage.
No, I don't think that what you see on shows like The Biggest Loser and 6 hours a day is necessary. I certainly do not do that.
Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. First-time caller, James, welcome to the program. You're up with us, James.
Good evening. How are y'all doing tonight?
Okay.
Yeah, first off, me, yes, I'm from Memphis, so I'm their worst nightmare when it comes to eating.
you like that barbecue?
That's not my question. Barbecue, fried or deep fried? That's basic food groups here. Okay, but it's my children that I got a question about, though. I have two sons with autism, and if they have ever dealt with kids with autism, a lot of them have a very unique eating habit, very narrow number of foods that they'll eat. Familiar with that?
Neither one of us are familiar with that. That's something where I would recommend that you speak with your pediatrician about.
But there are a variety of specialized dietitians that do deal with that. So you could maybe check in to local hospitals if they would have someone. They would probably have really good suggestions that could help you.
Kim, does insurance handle some of this for people? And I guess they'd have to call. But, do insurance companies pick up some of these?
It depends on the insurance company, and that's not something that I deal with. But I do know that it has been covered for before if it was found needed by the insurance company for someone to get treatment. Unfortunately, I'm sure that not everyone that needs the help gets it. But again, that's not my area. I don't deal a lot with the billing and stuff.
But one of the things that there is a movement, which is a great thing to see, there is a movement in this country where we are going to be covering preventative measures. Insurances will cover more preventative.
Mm-hmm. And they should. It saves them money in the long run. Let's go to Santa Barbara, California, west of the Rockies. Pasquale.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I had a couple simple questions and then one kind of deeper one. Have you ever heard of Two Angry Moms or the children that are being made to walk on Indian reservations, which I think is a good idea? Have you heard about the Two Angry Moms? It's a program in some schools to get good food. I just wondered, yes or no?
Jay, have you?
No, I have not.
Check it out. It's really interesting. They've succeeded. They did succeed in one school in Minnesota. After 9 months, 90% of the behavior problems just stopped by getting apples and fruit instead of soda machines.
Wow, that's great.
But this is what I wanted to talk about. I read an article in a Smithsonian, an artist did research. In the 1900s, 80% of the people in the United States were rural, agricultural. They were consuming 5,000 calories. They ate 4 or 5 meals a day, but they walked constantly. And as I was waiting to talk to you, I was thinking, and they were bending over and squatting and carrying. And I feel that those motions are very important. Then my last idea, and I wanted you to comment on it. Personally, for me, drinking more water really helps me. Instead of always munching, to drink water is very important, and I wanted you to comment. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Jay, what about that, drinking a lot of water?
Well, the great thing about water is it doesn't count as any calories. So you drink as much water as you want. Well, within limits,
right.
Obviously.
You could OD on water sometimes,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I had a student of mine who actually got water toxicity and had seizures because she was drinking too much water throughout the day.
Wow. And you have to be careful, too. If it's too hot, you can't keep gushing that down either.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I missed his other question.
You know, he was breaking up. And let's take some more. I'm getting flooded with phone calls here. Let's go to Glendale, Texas. Judy, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hey, Judy.
Hello, it's Lindale. But anyway, years ago on the public broadcasting TV network, I had heard an endocrinologist say that high fructose corn syrup, the body doesn't know what to do with it, and it stores it as fat. Have they ever done any research on that or heard anything about that?
Well, it's not that the body doesn't know what to do with it, but yes, the body does know what to do with it. The body stores it as fat. No matter if you're taking in carbohydrates or protein or fat, anything that your body doesn't use, any energy that your body doesn't use, it stores as fat. So it takes that sugar, you don't use it, it's excess, and it's stored as fat. And unfortunately, they put high fructose corn syrup in everything. You can hardly find anything in stores that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, which is just added calories that's going to be stored as fat.
What are the soda companies doing in schools now, Jay?
Well, I laugh because what they're doing is, because the schools are starting to come down on them, so what they're doing, instead of putting soda in there, they're putting fruit juice in there, which we've already talked about.
It's the same,
not much better.
Yeah, interesting. Next up, Paul in the Merced, California, Wildcard Line. Paul, good morning. You're up.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show. The question I have is something that I haven't heard really addressed is, I understand that it's what you eat and the nutrition is very important. However, don't we think we should encourage our children to go out and play instead of sitting in front of the TV with the PlayStation or the computer or texting? I mean, I am a baseball coach, been doing it all my life, and I encourage my children to play baseball, to do their karate, and all that stuff. Isn't that something that we should be addressing as a whole, not cutting sports programs out of schools, counties, and cities?
You know what? I highly agree with you with that. I visited a variety of schools lately, and it's pretty devastating that there is only 50 minutes of physical education class for elementary students one time a week. That's it, one time a week, 50 minutes. And in order to really be healthy, it is more than nutrition. You need to have that physical activity. In fact, it's recommended that kids get at least at a minimum 60 minutes of play and exercise a day. However, with the cutbacks in funding, like you just said, programs getting cut, you know, schools just, they're cutting back on their teachers and they're not allowing the time for the kids to get that activity that they need.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I remember in my school days, I mean, I think we had gym 3 days out of the week, you know, and then sports afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, let's go to Dean in Ontario, Canada. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Dean.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Okay.
Good. My wife and I actually went to a seminar a little bit, about a year ago, on this topic. It was a doctor up here called B.J. Hardick. It's an odd-sounding name, and I assure you I didn't make it up. however, his whole premise was the sugar that you get into your body, that's what's causing it all. And our bodies are stuck in sugar-burning mode when they should be in fat-burning mode. So to reset your body, you just basically eliminate sugar for about 40 days. And my wife and I did this. And believe me, when you start going off of sugar, like you said earlier about having some sort of withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Because, yes, the high fructose syrup is in everything.
Did you lose weight?
I lost 30 pounds. My wife lost 25 in about 2 months.
Wow. Did you keep it off?
Yes. And it was things like switching from using margarine to butter. Because natural fats, not bad for you. Man-made fats, bad for you. It's all about how your body's burning them and storing them.
I had heard that butter, Jay, is better for you than this other stuff.
Well, it's better than margarine, but it's not the type of fat you really want to get in your diet. If you really want good fat in your diet, you want to go with olive oil, fish oils. Those are the oils or fats. I mean, the difference between oil and fat is at room temperature, a fat is solid and an oil is a liquid.
Yeah.
So. But what you really want is you want to get fish oils, and you want to get, you know, olive oil. Those are the ones that not only are not associated with heart disease, they can actually prevent heart disease.
A Mediterranean diet is good for you?
Absolutely, because what are you getting? Lots of olive oil.
What about flaxseed oil? What do you think of that?
It's good. It's not a saturated fat like butter. So, you know, butter, bacon, you know, fat from a cow. Those are saturated fats that you can get in your diet, but you really don't want to take too much of it in.
Some people take it in place of fish oil. Is that appropriate?
You know, I really don't know that much about flaxseed, to be honest with you.
Okay. Let's go to Steve driving in California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, I'm a city planner, and I wanted to talk about, you know, to beat the drum about the importance of the built environment in childhood obesity. The way the cities are built now is, well, the way the suburbs are built now is that everybody's on big lots and the kids are so far from school that they have to be driven. But if everybody, if we started building cities denser, not only would we save oil and driving time, but they would be able to walk to school, and that would give them a lot more exercise in their day. And I think that's important.
Well, it probably is, you know, but your kids need a lot of exercise, and you have to watch the portions. And, you know, do parents, Jay, force feed kids to eat too much, or are the kids doing it themselves? Because they like junk food. They like the junk food.
Ultimately, you got to look at the parents. I mean, it's the parents who ultimately are allowing the kids to eat. Not to blame parents 100% because there's so many other factors that go along with it. But when it comes down to it, it's the parent that allows the child to eat the food. And I'll tell you something that I've seen is sitting down and making your kid eat is probably not a good idea because it seems that kids know for the most part, when they want to eat, how much they want to eat. So to have a kid sit at a table for 3 hours because it doesn't want to eat, I don't think that's a great idea. And actually, I think it creates bad habits, food habits in the future.
Yeah, just simply say, you don't want to eat, don't eat. Take the food
exactly.
away. Exactly.
This is your choice, hungry. And this is what you're going to eat when you do get hungry.
What do you think about trying to avoid MSG? Do you ever get into that?
No, not really, not very much.
Okay, I've thrown all that out, too. You know, you got to read the labels. That's important. Holt Summit, Missouri, east of the Rockies. It's Roger. Raj, go ahead.
Hey, George. I don't know about you, but I'm about your age, I guess, or we're about the same age. I'm 55, and I could count on one hand how many kids in my neighborhood were overweight when I was a kid. I think a lot of our problems started after they started putting all these chemicals and hormones in our food, on our animals. I mean, because you look now, you see 8-9-year-old girls. They look like Dolly Parton.
Yeah, no. They've grown fast. But the fast food epidemic has exploded, too. I mean, we had them when we were that age. But, you know, now, Roger, they're on every corner.
Well, do you think it has anything to do with it, all the chemicals and hormones that they're putting in the pigs and cows so they'll have bigger litters?
I think there's no question about it that the hormones have gone through the food chain. And they've gotten the kids through milk and meat and everything else. And the kids nowadays are more advanced than what we were when we were kids.
And just to add to that, directly to that, there are environmental chemicals, and they actually have coined them, called obesogens. For example, you can find these in hard plastics, like baby bottles, for example, that are endocrine-disrupting chemicals. We don't know a lot about them, but we do know that they affect fat metabolism.
Are pediatricians jumping on this bandwagon now, Jay? Are they beginning to understand that kids are obese?
Well, I think they understand it. However, I think a lot of them aren't really doing much about it. I think it's hard for a person to sit a parent down and say, listen, your kid's obese, and, you know, you're shortening their lives. So, first of all, confronting the parent with it, and then second of all, taking the time out of their schedule to sit down and educate the parent and say, this is what you're supposed to be feeding your kid and so forth. Now, I'm not throwing all pediatricians under the bus by any means because a lot of them are recognizing it, but not enough of them.
Well, when you get these statistics, 20% of the preschool children obese, research shows that they're going to get cancer. More so than kids of normal weight. And then this year alone, 50% of the kids out there in some areas, as you've said, could be obese. Those are frightening statistics. Jay and Kimberly, good luck with Build-A-Plate, okay?
Thank you so much.
And their website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com.